Why is the next stage of birth so much more complex? When your body was a fertilized embryo in your mother's womb, every cell that eventually formed your body was made in accord with the original cell pattern by virtue of each cell splitting. Therefore, it is important to recognize that every cell came into being through the pattern of the first primary cell. Yet, if we begin to understand that pattern of the one and the relationship to the multitude, then we can begin to grasp the process of subsequent levels of birth. While it is true that the embryo began its journey as a single cell, within the one exists the many, and from the one, the glands, organs, and bodily systems of the body are formed. Yet, the seven major glands and the 12 organs and the systems of the body merely serve as the potential foundation for the higher spheres of mind to develop, expand, and evolve. Each one of these glandular systems and organs are themselves complex, and the spheres of mind that they are the potential foundation for must develop step by step, level upon level, over the course of time. Each aspect of mind is therefore initiated and brought into being through the same pattern of birth as the initial cell or embryo that started the process. But because of free will, this can't be accomplished in the case of the majority of people. Since most of people's thoughts remain polarized to positive or negative, male or female, and are generated in response to external stimulation, these thoughts and impressions are lost into nature, which Paul portrayed as the God of this world, and the vital life force which generates these thoughts are representative of the inheritance that is squandered away by the lost prodigal son. Yet, to bring about the next stage of birth and the expansion of the 12 spheres of mind and the seven spiritual centers, which must be brought to a condition of wholeness and balance, each thought must itself become an embryo generated within one's own mind and being, and raised up as portrayed in the words of Paul: "Take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." 2 Cor 10:5 NIV. It would appear in the above that I am presenting the case that there is a great deal more to the subject of gender than physical sex and reproduction. While no one would question the role of gender in the process of physical reproduction, to even suggest that there is a great deal more to the equation of male and female than is understood today would not only be controversial, but would for the most part be in conflict with all the world's foremost politically correct philosophical opinions. In fact, the inconvenience of the truth is met with absolute disdain by the culturized thinking of modern man. Traditionally, man's religions have tolerated sex and gender differences because of the need for reproduction. The chaste virgin has been an object of worship, while the holy man and priest has more often than not been expected to be celibate and beyond sexual desires. Women were expected to be virgins. Marriage was an accepted flaw, and adultery was not tolerated. And while the sexual prohibitions of the past have been done away with throughout much of our modern culture, a whole school of pseudo-intellectuals has arisen who have succeeded in immersing the people in an opposite polarity of error. See Harvard, the quagmire of ignorance. Again, the term pseudo-intellectuals portrays those who cling to one ideological slant or opinion, while ignoring what does not strictly conform to the ideology or philosophical position they are attempting to promote. Part of the equation to knowing thyself begins with understanding the great difference in the reality of male, female, and the divine pattern of creation. We often hear the term, as above, so below, or the macrocosm has the same traits as the microcosm. In the Genesis account, man and woman is portrayed as having been creation in the image of God, which would of course indicate that there is male and female aspects of God. Perhaps even more important is the findings of modern physicists that the physical world is a holograph, and that our minds are interpreting what we see from the perspective of a holographic reality. See the great allegory of mind and matter. And one of the realities of a hologram is seen in the fact that the pattern of the whole is replicated into each of the fragmentary parts. From the perspective of a holographic reality, while there are levels of birth, the scriptures are relevant and can accurately portray each level of subsequent births, because the pattern is the same for each level. Thus, from a positive perspective, if you understand the pattern, you can then apply this knowledge to each subsequent level. But on the negative side, what this also means is that from the perspective of a fragment, and what I am simply stating is the fact that, in the same way that holographically, the physical is the pattern of all higher realities and new life is brought forth through the balanced interaction of male and female on a physical level, what is true with respect to the physical pattern remains true at each level of development and being. What this means is that in much the same way, the physical bodies of man and woman produce thoughts and impressions that under the proper conditions have the potential to give birth and evolve the third force of higher mind. And allegorically, this is why those men who squandered their seed in the earth, or men who lay with men in the manner of a woman, and even why those who squander their seed and commit adultery were required to be stoned. Take notice that in the allegorical image at the right, once again we see the traditional allegorical symbol that is represented throughout the concepts of spiritual alchemy, which conveys that fact that it is the polarities of man and woman that has the inherent powers of spiritual transformation.
Glenn,
the mind in the image is in the field that surrounds the physical bodies of the male and female. And it is in the joining and expansion of the field that begins to form in a divine marriage, wherein the two are made one flesh. What this ultimately means is that, in the allegorical creation of Eve from the side of Adam, Creator God provided everything that mankind needed to make the return journey to spiritual Eden, see, in accordance with the laws of nature and nature's God. In the same way that when the proper conditions exist, the physical ovum and sperm merge into an embryo, which becomes the genetic pattern for the fetus that is eventually born into this world, on a level of mind, each of us enters this world as a cosmic ovum or sperm, with the power to unite as a cosmic embryo, and with the proper conditions brought about, evolve into a cosmic fetus which has the potential to bring about the next stage of birth that Jesus taught was necessary to enter into the life and the kingdom that is. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." John 3:3 NKJ. And to achieve this next stage of birth, Jesus taught, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then, they are no longer two, but one flesh." Matt 19:5-6 NKJ. And that this union must be sacred is the reason why Jesus warned, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Matt 5:27-28 NKJ. If the higher pattern of physical sex was not holographically part of the next process of soul birth, then the above gospel requirements would not have mattered. From one cell, the pattern of 12 organs and 7 glands are manifest. Modern quantum physics has opened the door to the fact that every cell has a consciousness of its own. Among the resource quotations that I present in the article entitled "The Divine Marriage" is one by a female researcher named Dr. Luan Brizendini, who authored a book entitled "The Female Mind." Dr. Brizendini, whose book is based on her own clinical work and analyses of more than 1,000 scientific studies, wrote, "There is no unisex brain. Girls arrive already wired as girls, and boys arrive already wired as boys. Their brains are different by the time they're born, and their brains are what drive their impulses, values, and their very reality. I know it is not politically correct to say this, but I've been torn for years between my politics and what science is telling us. I believe women actually perceive the world differently from men. If women attend to those differences, they can make better decisions about how to manage their lives. Ultimately, what this means is that, in the same way that a woman's body produces ovum, and ovum possesses an entirely different genetic coding and structure than their opposite male sperm, the consciousness of women is not only opposite to that of men, but their thoughts and impressions produced by the body-mind are opposite to those thoughts and impressions produced by the male physical body-mind. And to neglect and dismiss these important differences, in order to subjugate one's reasoning to the politically correct cultural thinking that is in denial of reality today, and portray man and woman as individuals who are independently viable, is synonymous with portraying a woman's ovum or a man's sperm as an individual that is a viable individual, apart from its opposite. When in truth both the ovum and sperm are not only defined by their opposite and only together can form a whole, but without this joining, both have no continuance beyond their cycle in the womb. In many respects, man and woman can be portrayed as matter and antimatter. Women are an opposite polarity from men. A woman sees the world and life from an often opposite perspective. Her energies interact differently with nature. She emits a different frequency and vitality of life force than her male counterpart, or, as stated in the book Brain Sex, by Anne Moyer and David Jessel, where they wrote, "Men are different from women. They are equal only in their common membership of the same species, humankind. To maintain that they are the same in aptitude, skill, or behavior is to build a society based on a biological and scientific lie. perhaps even more important due to the fact that few men and women can even begin to understand the higher purpose and reality of the sexes in bringing about the next stage of soul birth. Mankind's ignorance with respect to the esoteric innate qualities of gender has caused him to mentally, cognitively, and spiritually flatline. And it can be stated that man's ignorance about the true facts of life is responsible for all the conflict, violence, and suffering in the world today. The problem goes beyond the fact that men are men, and women are women, and one of the great illusions that inhibit mankind is his delusion that he is a whole individual. Examine the facts. While from the perspective of an ovum or sperm, it can be said that they are complete, that their existence is to serve a higher purpose than this very limited individuality, is a fact of life, which from the perspective of man's holographic pattern, provides a profound revelation to the footnote on the word destruction with respect to those who fail to enter in at the narrow gate. As seen in the footnote of the Scofield Reference Bible, which reads, "There is no thought in these various words of annihilation, but of something that is ruined and thus unsuitable or unable to fulfill its original purpose." In the same way that on one level, while ovum and sperm can be viewed independently, the fact that their higher purpose can only be brought about in the merger of the two polarities, so too can the higher purpose of man and woman as a cosmic ovum and sperm only be brought about in the merger of the two polarities in the higher reality of the divine marriage that makes the two one flesh and brings about the possibility of achieving the next stage of soul birth. And the resulting profound ignorance that permeates the thinking of modern man can be laid right at the doorstep of the church. The soul, which has always existed and is immortal, consciously dwells in an inner realm of higher mind and being, far removed from either the body vessel or this world, and is neither male nor female, existing in a state of perpetual balance. The higher soul self in its natural state is a being of light and exists as pure energy, intellect, and light. This light is in part the result of the perfect balance of the polarities, which we perceive as male and female on a multitude of levels of mind and being, which modern man possess little understanding of today. From the reality of the soul, there is no such thing as male and female as stated in the Universal Jewish Encyclopedia. Under the heading of souls, transmigration of, the doctrine of transmigration of souls, which was especially accepted by the Karaites, is generally attacked by Jewish philosophers, but is defended by Isaac Abravanel and Manasseh ben Israel. It appears often in Kabbalah. It is found in organized form in the Zohar. It is further developed in the teachings of Isaac Luria, 1534 to 1572. And in Hasidism, it becomes a universal belief. According to these teachings, all human souls have a common origin in the spiritual unity of the primordial man, sparks of which form the individual souls. The sin of Adam brought higher and lower souls into confusion. As a result, every soul has to pass through a series of incarnations. The soul itself has no sex, which is determined by the body and may vary from incarnation to incarnation. The important truth for our conversation here is that the soul itself has no sex, which is determined by the body and may vary from incarnation to incarnation. Therefore, to manifest the soul in the body, the person must overcome the great gender divide within themselves, and this can only be accomplished within the higher reality of the etheric. This is possible because the soul itself is not itself implanted in the body, neither does the soul have a body in the manner that their generated soul image does in this world. And since the soul self is a being of pure enlightened light and life force, with a proper foundation, it can manifest in the etheric field of the enlightened mind of man. But what is important with respect to our present discussion is the fact that it means that a man or woman is neither whole, nor are they a complete individual, because their very gender divides them into, at the very least, a third of the whole. The body and the gender-assigned human consciousness is in fact a barrier to manifesting the true self that is. Again, quoting The Female Mind by Dr. Brizendini, where she writes, "There is no unisex brain. Girls arrive already wired as girls, and boys arrive already wired as boys. Their brains are different by the time they're born, and their brains are what drive their impulses, values, and their very reality. If the higher soul self is neither male nor female, then it is impossible for man or woman in their organic earth consciousness condition to know thyself." And this explains the higher reality of the teaching of Jesus that was removed from the Gospels, see, but is preserved in the second epistle of Clement, where Jesus teaches on the coming of the kingdom in the words, "Let us expect, therefore, hour by hour, the kingdom of God in love and righteousness, since we know not the day of the appearing of God. For the Lord himself, being asked by one when his kingdom would come, replied, When two shall be one, that which is without is that which is within, and the male with the female, neither male nor female. How is that condition achieved where the male with the female, neither male nor female? It must be noted that unless this condition where the duality of male and female is achieved, the kingdom cannot come. That is what the carnal Jews and Christians preach as an end times doctrine. Thus, where Jesus taught that one must achieve the next stage of birth to enter the kingdom, this overcoming of the duality of male and female has little to do with the physical marriages of man and woman in this world, but rather the subsequent stages of marriage that modern man does not at all understand the higher reality of. Our culture can't even come to terms with the reality of gender opposites. That is, a man is a man and has the strengths, weaknesses, and abilities of a man because another soul was born as a woman, who in turn has all the strengths, weaknesses, and abilities of a woman that is opposite to a man. Thus, a man is a man because a woman is everything that he is not, and vice versa. The higher soul self of mankind can't manifest in the body, fulfilling the ancient adage to know thyself, because organic man is wired and polarized a man or woman, and the soul of man is neither but far greater than even the sum total of both. Therefore, to perceive a man or woman as being a whole individual is synonymous with defining an ovum or sperm as being whole or complete. It isn't only that they are half of each other, but that they are virtually nothing without each other, and neither a part is able to even begin to move in the direction of man's greater destiny. And in the same way that an ovum and sperm under the proper condition has the potential to be a mature man or woman, a man or woman only has the potential to be the higher reality of the soul when the proper conditions are first brought about. And while the multitude of mankind may find this higher reality objectionable, the higher facts of life are not at all negated by man's unbelief or rejection. In the same way that during the process of fertilization, a sperm is represented as half the chromosomes of a human, and the ovum in like manner is represented as half the chromosomes of a human, an adult man or woman represents half, and more realistically, a third of what is needed to begin the journey of soul birth. And for the most part, the vast majority of men and women have absolutely no chance of becoming their soul, that is, their true self, which is the being of light encountered in the near-death experience, because of the profound ignorance of those man looks to as teachers and leaders. From the perspective of an ovum or a sperm, it can be said that in their present condition they lack even the ability to evolve into a whole human being. So long as they remain in their present divided condition, the most that can be said is that they possess only the potential of life, much like a woman's ovum or a man's sperm only possess the potential of life in the joining process with its opposite. To claim that a woman's ovum or a man's sperm can arise to its potential in a divided state is in many respects synonymous with stating that a man or woman can arise to the potential of their soul in their divided state. Therefore, wholeness from a human perspective cannot be envisioned in the reality of the cosmic ovum or sperm. And even when merged together, they only possess the potential to be a complete human, and this can only be achieved after an extraordinary growth and expansion process is brought about that transforms the single cell that is comprised of two genetic halves into a being of a higher order. Thus, the words of Jesus, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." So then, they are no longer two but one flesh, Matt 19:5-6 in KJ. The questions that should be asked: what is being portrayed in the meaning of the man and woman becoming one flesh? And how is this accomplished? Few men have considered the fact that if by one flesh, a man and woman must become as integrated into each other as a joined ovum and sperm, then modern man does not at all understand the true meaning of marriage. See the spiritual meaning of marriage. And in the same way that the reality of the word gnosis as the divine manna from heaven cannot be redefined by man because of its absolute spiritual meaning, neither can the reality of marriage be redefined by man, and neither can a true marriage be instituted or ordained by man. That is, render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and unto God what belongs to God. Modern man's understanding of the deeper realities of mind and being has been reduced to the popular cultural concept that marriage is merely another form of government-approved hooking up. An embryo is formed when the chromosomes of the woman's ovum becomes joined with the chromosomes of the male sperm, and the two halves become one flesh. And it is this same process that Jesus confirmed must be brought about in a spiritual marriage of a man and woman to the degree that Jesus warned. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Nat 5:27-28 NKJ. Part of what is difficult to observe with physical eyes and senses is seen in the fact that in the same way that a geneticist can observe the DNA of a person and track those chromosomes that belong to the maternal line of the mother and the paternal line of the father, the same reality holds true in the higher union and marriage of man and woman. Even though the ovum and sperm are united on one level, under close examination, their duality continues to exist and can be detected in an examination of the physical DNA. The expansion of the physical cells into a fetus is in part due to the continued generation of vital life force or bioenergy emanating from the chromosomes of the father and mother in the original cell. In like manner, the unity of man and woman is in the reality of the etheric field, which immerse the two in the DNA of the divine marriage. On this level, they continue to appear to be separate, while the unity of the union or marriage exists on an etheric level of mind and being. And because the next stage of birth is that of soul birth and mind, it is imperative that within the reality of the higher one flesh, the polarities of the two continue to generate impressions and thoughts at this physical level. And this is necessary to expand each dimension of mind that exists in the higher potential of man's destiny. Again, while the physical is the pattern, the reality of higher mind slash soul and spirit is far more complex. And therefore, the requirements are far more engaging. In understanding this reality of the etheric, which immerses the original cosmic male and female spiritual DNA within the cocoon of a developing cosmic embryo and spiritual fetus, this raises the important question stated by Jesus. Why would it be adulterous for a man to merely look upon a woman with lust? Apart from any physical interaction on man's part, this statement cannot simply be dismissed, because Jesus presented it as an important reality that the carnal Jews did not understand, which raises the all-important question as to the relevance of Jesus' words today. The answer is, because in a true spiritual marriage, the man and woman must become so united as one flesh in the physical, that their mind in the etheric that is forming and expanding becomes singular, and the necessary alchemical transformation is brought about that makes them a cosmic embryo and fetus. And what Jesus warned was that if a man was to even look upon another woman with lust, then the necessary joining in oneness would be absent, just as a woman who seeks to entice the attentions or energies of a man other than her husband could not fulfill the roles of a true spiritual wife. And apart from the merging of the two into one flesh, the man and woman would remain the equivalent of the next stage of an ovum and sperm separate and ununited, resulting in the fact that, because man's physical birth is only the first stage of the threefold birth, the same incompleteness that is true of an ovum or a sperm is also true of a physical man or woman. Impressions as food. The higher reality taught by Jesus is in direct conflict with the pseudo-marriages, which are little more than government-licensed sex or hookups which man has attempted to redefine as marriage. From a higher spiritual perspective, Jesus warned that if a man looks at another woman with lust, then no marriage exists. If a woman dresses or acts in a provocative manner in order to attract the energies or attention of men other than her husband, then no marriage exists. The man or woman may have a certificate of secular ordained and licensed sex from a legal perspective. They may have a secular ordained hookup, but that is the extent of the union. The requirements that Jesus set forth with respect to marriage has virtually nothing in common with the marriages ordained by man. In not understanding why Jesus made these statements, herein lies one of the primary obstacles that confront man in his quest to possess and open the door to higher knowledge and awareness that he seeks. In the same way that physical birth and life is brought about through the balanced and equal physical interaction of male and female, sperm and ovum, the holographic reality of the divine pattern which controls the next stage of birth is brought about through the balanced and equal interaction of male and female impressions and together as a cosmic embryo. When the two polarities are united in their quest for truth and higher spiritual knowledge, they are able to bring about the next stage of birth within themselves. Again, the above-quoted conclusion by Dr. Luan Brazendini as stated in her book, The Female Mind, where she writes, "There is no unisex brain. Girls arrive already wired as girls, and boys arrive already wired as boys. Their brains are different by the time they're born, and their brains are what drive their impulses, values, and their very reality. But in reality, The Great Truth Dr. Luan presents is only a very small part of the equation of male and female. In the same way that the image to the right portrays a physical joining, the body-mind of a woman emits impressions that are not only opposite to that of a man, but are absolutely necessary to make the male impressions complete. And there's then a joining of the male/female impressions in the etheric field which surrounds the physical equal. And it is in this third force field where both the marriage is manifest, and the process of mental and spiritual expansion is brought about. And if, as stated above in the Zohar, the soul has no sex, that is, the soul itself has no sex, which is determined by the body and may vary from incarnation to incarnation, then there must be a joining of the divided male and female in order to manifest the soul in the body vessel. And there must be an integration of male and female impressions on an etheric level in order to overcome organic limitations and bring about the next stage of birth. And that without a total and absolutely commitment on the part of the man and woman in a divine marriage, this development of the mental and spiritual embryo on the next level of being is impossible, which is why Jesus warned about even looking at or attracting the opposite sex outside of a committed divine marriage. And it is in this merger and expansion of opposites that fulfills the requirement set forth by Jesus as to when the kingdom will come. For the Lord himself, being asked by one when his kingdom would come, replied, "When two shall be one, that which is without as that which is within, and the male with the female, neither male nor female." The laws of creation, sometimes portrayed as the laws of nature and nature's God, has provided within the being of man and woman the means and ability to bring about all things within themselves. In the same way that the joining of man and woman brings about physical life, this same joining has the innate potential to bring about the higher life to those men and women who live in accord with the commandments of Creator God and seek the kingdom within. A segment of faith-based believers might find this statement offensive because of their belief that all you need is Jesus. Yet, it was Jesus who set forth even stricter requirements pertaining to marriage than even that found in the Torah. The best Hebrew translation of Genesis 2:19 is, "I will make for him a helpmate opposite him." And unless you come to understand woman as an opposite polarity of the whole, then you will remain carnal and earthbound in your thinking. The soul, which is neither male nor female and very much a balance of the divine pattern of creation, cannot manifest in the earth in a divided state. And in the same way that the male sperm divides into either an X or Y, the embryonic soul image is generated into this world, see embryonic image, is either Y male or X female, and thus, in the same way that the sperm and ovum at conception are in fact divided halves that when joined create a whole, embryo, so too is man and woman half of the whole, which is necessary and predicated by the laws of creation, in order to bring about the next stage of soul birth. The thoughts, impressions and vital life force that is generated and emitted by men and women are not only different and of an opposite polarity together, they provide one third of what has the potential to be whole. And when I say potential, it is from the perspective that organic man or woman who has not yet begun to mature beyond that which the Apostle Paul portrayed as of a natural mind is synonymous with an ovum or a sperm that has yet to expand beyond its initial form and limits. And this is why the early Christian Valentinus stated that few men or women in their organic condition have even the opportunity to enter into life, and why Jesus stated that while many are called, few are chosen, and the vast majority of people merely walk the broad way of self-destruction. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Matt 7:13-14 NKJ. And if we pose the question, how is one to enter in through what is portrayed as the narrow gate? Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." John 3:3 NKJ. And this equation which Jesus portrays as the way that is broad which the multitude walk to their own demise can perhaps be envisioned when we begin to consider how many ovum that each woman is born with actually becomes a person. While it is true that each ovum has the potential to become a human, few actually do.